Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. Find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
You know, around here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp, we're lucky in that we get to talk to a lot of Georgia players, former players, who kind of give us a little bit of an insight into what it's like to kind of be in the key rooms where things are happening. You know, on the field where the games are being played, important visits, how those go down, what players care about in a moment like that. And with all that in mind, I thought we had a really good moment on this show on Monday. It was fresh off the official visit for Broderick Jones, the five-star UGA commit, Cedric Von Prongranger, the four-star UGA commit, two very good offensive linemen, about as good as you're going to be able to find. They were both on campus this past weekend, and I had a chance to ask, in the aftermath of that, our buddy John Stinchcomb, former UGA All-American, a guy who was very deliberate in every decision he makes, as a big-time offensive lineman. John, you were once one. These guys are that now. As a big-time offensive lineman, what is it that you're thinking about when you go on that final visit before you put pen to paper, ink on the letter of intent, and become officially a member of this class? What is it that you care about? I thought John Stinchcomb did a great job of describing just that. Let me give you a quick reminder. Here's John on Cedric Von Prawn and Broderick Jones.
Well, I think they're looking for confirmation that it's the right fit with the guys, that it's the right culture that they want to be a part of for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years of their life. And at this point in the game, they should know that aspect. What I think, what I see for them as a question that needs to be answered is Matt Luke. I mean, they were recruited by Coach Pittman, and he's no longer in Athens. So the question that they need answered, and at least confirmed with what they probably suspect, is what their roles will be, what that relationship with him looks like. I think that they're gleaning a lot of information from the players that practiced with him in preparation for the Sugar Bowl, and making sure that the University of Georgia is the right place for them.
So a couple things for me here really quick on what John said there. I think he did a good job describing how great offensive linemen think about key official visits. Obviously, that's what Van Prawn and Jones both did. And if you'll check out DogNation.com, Jeff Sintel, our Dog Nation recruiting insider, has recently published two really good stories, one involving Jones, one involving Van Prawn, where they do kind of talk about the comfort and the familiarity they feel at Georgia right now and the way in which they've kind of acquainted themselves with Matt Luke. Because if you're a UGA fan and you want to feel good about the fact that Jones and Van Prawn end up in this class, obviously Jeff's reporting, I think, will lead you in that direction. But maybe even more crucial than that, if you want to feel good about the direction the Georgia offensive line is going to take with Matt Luke at the helm, I think the story of how the Jones recruitment is ending, assuming it ends up being good news, the Van Prawn recruitment is ending, assuming it ends up being good news, Jeff has certainly hinted that he feels like it will be good news on both these accounts. As this evolves, I think it gives you a chance to feel good about the new era for the Georgia offensive line, one led by Matt Luke, because we're going to get more into a moment on what Luke is as an on-field coach, and I think that's important. But maybe what's more important than that is that he is seemingly good at the thing that Sam Pittman was always really good at. Now, they're very different how they go about their business. To my knowledge, Matt Luke has no catchphrase. There's no yes, sir, coming from him in terms of how he deals with people. But given the fact that Broderick Jones could go anywhere, seems to still be pretty comfortable with the situation here at Georgia. Given the fact that Cedric Von Prawn could go anywhere, seems to be pretty comfortable with the situation here at Georgia. Matt Luke proving to be a good developer of relationships. And it's kind of funny. If you go back to when Luke first became Ole Miss head coach, he talked a little bit about this. And I played this audio for you before on a previous edition of our show. But Luke was kind of talking about, you know, what do you miss as an offensive line coach? You know, how is being a head coach different? And he talked about then the importance of building relationships. And what he said way back then in Oxford is relevant for us now, because the Cedric Von Prawns, the Broderick Jones, these relationships that he's building, we get a chance to see that facet of his personality that Luke has kind of always recognized as one of his strengths. Let me let you hear Matt Luke going back to his time at Ole Miss.
That's the part I enjoy. I enjoy the relationship part of coaching. That's, to me, that's what I'm good at, and that's what I enjoy doing. And it's just a much more broader scope and getting to know more people instead of just focusing on three or four you're more worried about the big picture. But it's all about building relationships, and that's the part I like.
I've always told you that no matter how cool the social media edits are and no matter how big the reputation is as running back university or defensive back university or whatever, you know, various kind of university you want to have, ultimately recruiting is won by relationships. The ability to be authentic with people, the ability to be, you know, yourself in a situation like that. And by the way, Luke's not the only one influential with Jones and Van Pran. I mean, I think Jeff's is, you know, kind of said that a guy like Jonas Jennings has played a huge role in Broderick Jones' recruitment. But ultimately, Matt Luke is the offensive line coach these guys are going to play for. And it seems like Luke is good at the thing that Pittman was also good at, which is just making guys feel at home, making them feel comfortable, making them feel like that this is a place they can be for 3 to 4 years and really feel themselves there. And so if you're a Georgia fan wanting to feel good about Matt Luke, the story and the way these things are unfolding, I think is an easy way to do that. But then there's this. As I said before, there's also kind of an interesting, I guess, evolution maybe of the Georgia offensive line, because if you go to dognation.com right now and you look at the Cedric Von Prahn story, there is a very interesting nugget kind of deep in the story. Van Prahn talks about a lot of things about, you know, kind of his continued comfort, I guess, with Georgia and just a lot of other things. He kind of explains the whole notion of how the Cedric Von Prahn Granger thing came to be about, and I think that's a really interesting part of his story all the way around. But in the piece itself, he also talks about the Georgia offensive line, assuming he does sign next Wednesday or this upcoming Wednesday, assuming he signs then, what kind of Georgia offensive line will he be a part of? And the words of SVP here, I think, are really, really interesting. Let me read this to you. You can read the entire story, and I think you should, from Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com. But here is one key quote. Big change coming for the Georgia offensive line. Maybe here's what Cedric Von Prahn Granger has to say. I think Coach Luke wants agile linemen. I think he wants more agile linemen. He doesn't want all brute force. Brute force is good, but you definitely want to be able to move. That's Cedric Von Prahn Granger in the story from Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com. Now, if Sam Pittman were sitting here next to me on this desk, he might very well say, well, I want agile linemen too. Just because we've recruited big 330 and 340-pound guys doesn't mean we don't also want them to be able to move. But there is no doubt in the previous iteration of the Georgia offensive line under Kirby Smart, the one led by Sam Pittman, that given the choice, and there's always some sort of choice between this, size versus quickness, size versus speed, the Georgia offensive line of the past has kind of always chosen size over speed. I won't mention players by name, but you can think of a couple of highly rated recruits that Georgia essentially paid no attention to whatsoever along the offensive line, because the thought we had was they're just not big enough to play in this Georgia offensive line, that Georgia seemingly in the Sam Pittman era kind of always chose size over speed. But Cedric Von Prahn Granger, having had a chance to spend a good bit of time with Matt Luke, says, no, maybe there's going to be room for more agility in this new Georgia offensive line. Maybe now we're going to value guys that move a little bit more over guys that just kind of attack you with brute force. Now, I think, given the fact that the Georgia offense of the last couple of years has come up just short of a national championship goal, trying something different makes a little bit of sense for me. And an evolution like this with Matt Luke as offensive line coach, going along with the hiring of Todd Monken and maybe the further development of the Georgia passing game, that all kind of seems to make a good bit of sense for me there as well. Honestly, Sam Pittman was a very popular Georgia assistant coach for very good reason, and the recruiting work that he did bringing in the offensive lineman that he brought in was unprecedented really in all of college football while he was doing that work here at UGA. But now maybe trying something different, a little more up-tempo offense, a little more, I guess, to use SVP's word, agile offensive lineman, that seems like it's worth a shot. Now, we have seen a little bit of Luke on the field, albeit with the offensive line that he inherited back during the Sugar Bowl. The results that day, for the most part, seem to be pretty good. Not a perfect day for Georgia offensively, but for the most part, they seem to be pretty good. I got a chance to catch up with Luke after that Sugar Bowl. He talked about his kind of feeling about having been in hands-on with the Georgia offensive line then, what he's looking forward to doing next. Here's what Luke said at that time.
Well, it's all about them. Those guys, they stepped up to the challenge. We had three normal starters out, and those guys stepped up. They took the challenge. They went wire to wire and played every snap. So really proud of those guys for stepping up.
How eager are you to get to work for the 2020 season now?
Yeah, that's what I was telling them. This is not the end. This is the beginning, and we can really build off this.
Yeah, listen, I love that phrase there at the end. It's not the end, it's the beginning. And that beginning during this offseason, what Smart's kind of always called phase one of a football calendar year, it does feel like there's a little bit of a theme of change here. Change to a new play caller, change to a new potential philosophy along the offensive line. I think it's the kind of change that could yield better results here for UGA. I think it's a fascinating metamorphosis, is that the right word? Metamorphosis to watch unfold here. Can't wait for spring practice to see more of it ourselves. Good competition along the offensive line. This is definitely a fun time to be a UGA fan, plugged into all the things going on around the program. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Meriwether and Tharp. Good to have you with us no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Interesting guest coming up. I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. Let me also tell you this, that our friends at Meriwether and Tharp do bring the show to you today. And obviously, happy conversation around here when we talk Georgia football. Unfortunately, though, for some people, there's a much less pleasant conversation going on in your real life, and that's the issue of a divorce. Something you maybe never thought you'd be going through, but now you find yourself there. And it leads to a lot of questions about your future, your financial future, your connection with your children in some cases. Meriwether and Tharp certainly understands all of that, and they want to be an advocate by your side. You may be going through this for the first time, but Meriwether and Tharp has been through this thousands of times. They have a lot of institutional knowledge and memory gained through that experience, and they can put that experience in work for you. I obviously hate that you may be finding yourself in this situation, but if you are there, you need someone good by your side, and there's no one better than my friends at Meriwether and Tharp. They're your source for Georgia divorce. You can find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com, theatlantadivorceteam.com, and you can put Meriwether and Tharp to work for you. All right, as I said before, a little bit of a different guest today. First time, I believe, on the program for Trey Wallace. Let me tell you who Trey is, and I'll explain why this is going to be interesting. If you'll remember, this week we've kind of talked about the attempted visit of Jeremy Pruitt to see five-star running back Zach Evans in Houston. Pruitt was there at North Shore High School, the school where, at least my understanding is, that Evans has finished his coursework. So it wasn't going to be an in-school visit because Evans, I don't believe, is a student at North Shore High School anymore. Everything is kind of caveated and sort of qualified. But the visit apparently didn't go down. The guy who reported that first, I believe, was Trey Wallace. So Trey will tell us more about that coming up. The latest on Zach Evans. Trey is based out of Knoxville. Evans was just in Knoxville this past weekend. So we'll do a little bit more intel. We'll try to squeeze together what we can on Zach Evans here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse today and let's make Zach Evans also the subject of that here for a moment. One way or another, you know, there is still a huge level of curiosity about how things happen with Zach Evans. Yesterday, when we did Before the Hedges presented by Kroger, the subject of Evans obviously came up. I wanted to let you hear what our buddy Jeff Sintel, Dog Nation's recruiting insider, had to say about that as of yesterday. And so from the perspective of Sintel, here is kind of things where they are with Evans at the moment. Take a listen to Jeff.
A lot of people are wondering if that's going to be the Kirby Smart signing day special fastball. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't feel like the Zachary Evans recruitment to me if he chooses to do that on a day when everybody else is signing. Reminder, I think the only thing Zach Evans can do now is make a commitment and then show up somewhere, wherever he wants to go play college football. He's visited Ole Miss lately. He's visited Tennessee. I think they painted the rock for him in Knoxville. And Jeremy Pruitt was around North Shore High School in Houston, Texas this week and wasn't able to get an in-home visit that day when he was recruiting. The names that you keep thinking about here is, you know, what did he put out on his Instagram that Florida wasn't happening? You know, Zach Evans, all the talent in the world, everybody's waiting and watching and wondering.
So listen, speaking of Instagram, I guess there was also the thing that you may have seen the online chatter about that Evans went on Instagram Live and said that he was either wanting to take a visit to UGA this weekend, taking a visit to UGA this weekend. I can't confirm that. I have no idea if that's true, but I've seen it everywhere, all over the internet. I don't know why recruits can't talk about their visits on Twitter like they used to back in my day. You know, the Instagram thing sometimes is not the easiest thing for me to follow, especially the Instagram Live stuff. But that's been kind of out there. I guess, like, the one big takeaway for me on all of this is what Jeff says there at the beginning. that, you know, UGA fans have kind of come to expect. Hey, this big announcement from Kirby Smart, big signing day surprise. George Pickens was the version of that for the 2019 class. You can think back on the 2018 class that kind of had its own signing day type surprises. In the case of Evans, because of the uncertainty around his letter of intent, you know, signed, released, whatever else, it certainly stands to reason that the conventional wisdom is he can't sign another letter of intent, which means we probably don't get any kind of announcement from him one way or another about anything on Wednesday. For those of you kind of ready for the Evans drama to be over, my guess is on Wednesday it's not over one way or another, at least based on what Jeff is kind of saying right there, which certainly seems to make a lot of sense. I'm fascinated by this. I'm entertained by it. I don't think it's close to being done, and your guess is as good as mine where any of this is heading next. We'll find out more about Evans, by the way, in just a moment. Let me also remind you, as we get ready for the big game here on Sunday, Kroger's got you covered with party trays to give you more time to enjoy the game. In other words, you're not in the kitchen working on this. You can sort of sit back and enjoy yourself with veggie trays, meat trays, even gourmet cookie trays, which you had me at hello when it comes to that. Here's the website to go to, Kroger.com/order online. Kroger.com/order online, and you can place your order today. All right, great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. We'll have more on, by the way, speaking of the Super Bowl, Mecole Hardman enjoying himself in Miami coming up in just a few minutes. For now, though, let's talk to, from Fox Sports in Knoxville, a guy who knows the Vols program pretty well, interesting reporting on Zach Evans as well. Let's talk to Trey Wallace. So a guy that really does a great job around the SEC and been an interesting voice there coming out of Knoxville for a while, I believe first time to be here on Dog Nation Daily, is Trey Wallace, Fox Sports Knoxville. You can hear him on the radio. You can also read him a bunch all over the internet. We'll give him a chance to kind of tell us more about that in a moment. First of all, though, Trey, welcome into our program here today. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Hey, good morning, Brandon. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing really well, and I'm really happy to have you on the program. You had some very interesting tweets this week that got some attention after Zach Evans' official visit to Tennessee this past weekend. Jeremy Pruitt tried to catch up with him in Houston there around North Shore High School. That wasn't able to go down. Was this a miscommunication? Was this a Zach Evans kind of rebuffing Jeremy Pruitt and not wanting to spend time with him? Do you get a sense of what the nature of this, I guess, lack of connection was when Pruitt was in Houston this past weekend?
Oh, I think it was when Zach Evans had visited Tennessee this past weekend and went home on Sunday, and Tennessee, you know, a few Tennessee coaches were under the impression that they'd probably get a chance to visit him on Monday, and Tennessee coaches, according to a few people around the North Shore High School program, Jeremy Pruitt and one other assistant coach visited the high school Monday morning, you know, right around that 10:30 to 1:15 period, just to be able, you know, to talk with some coaches there and visit with some prospects like Denver Harris or four-star offensive guard Jaden Roberts, and just from talking to people around there and around here, they thought they would potentially get the opportunity to sit down with maybe Zach Evans or even his family and just be able to say hello coming off a visit. That didn't go down. Now, look, there, you know, we're in the business where you can chalk that up to a couple different things. Miscommunication, the young man may be playing games, or, you know, just bad luck. But, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and one of their assistants, they were in Houston Monday morning, and you know what, it kind of goes right into parallel to sure, this whole Zach Evans recruitment, because, you know, this is not the first SEC school for this to happen in the last week and a half, 2 weeks either, going to Houston. So
that's certainly a fair point. Tennessee is a little bit of a late entrant into this race, at least to my knowledge. Do the Vols feel like they have a real shot at Evans here? How do they feel like the visit went in Knoxville last weekend?
Talking to a few people, I think they thought the visit went well. It's just your bells and whistles for a five-star recruit. But, you know, the young man got to enjoy some time around the players and for the coaches to really try to be able to pitch him. I mean, you have to remember that Tennessee really wasn't in this thing until Brian Niedermeyer got to go, you know, to Houston last week, early last week, and pitched him, and it worked. And the young man took a visit to Tennessee along with a buddy of his. So, you know, I mean, for a school to get into it, you know, let's say 2 weeks ago, really a week ago, really, I think Tennessee's sitting in a nice spot right now. But, you know, there's a long way to go still. I know signing day is next week, but there's still, I mean, this thing could drag on for, you know, a week, a month, 2 months. I mean, it's honestly going to decide where this kid shows up on campus.
Yeah, don't I know that? No doubt about that. Jay Graham, Jay Graham recently hired as, or at least I guess expected to be hired as Tennessee running backs coach, coming from Texas A&M. Evans had a little bit of a relationship with A&M, although seemingly they've never seemed to kind of rise to the top of his recruitment. Does Graham's presence in Knoxville change any of this, your best guess?
I would think it, I mean, I think it's only a good sign, to be honest with you. Jay Graham, I guess you could say, made it Twitter official last night.
Okay.
That he is a part of the Tennessee staff. So, you know, I think it will help. I mean, we're looking at a spot right now, you know, where potentially these schools have what? They've got 2 days to maybe speak with the young man. If he goes on an official visit somewhere,
yeah,
you're taking the weekend out of it. So you're taking Friday night, Saturday night, probably Sunday night. And then you have to start worrying about, you know, where dead period hits up before signing day. So, you know, a lot of teams are going to have a chance to, you know, or want a chance to be able to pitch this young man. And, you know, this is probably one of the craziest recruitments I've seen in a long time. But, you know, talking with folks at Ole Miss and Florida, you know, and even at Georgia, I think everybody just kind of out there looking to see what they can get a hold of.
Yeah, no doubt. It should be a very interesting recruitment to follow. Obviously, Knoxville now, one of the cities closely watching all this. Trey, you could do a good job there covering the situation for the Vols. If folks want to find out more about you or what has already kind of been an interesting offseason for Tennessee, how can we catch up with you online?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on the air every day from 3 to 6 on Fox Sports Knoxville. You can follow me at TreyWallace_ and at Fox Sports Knox. And, just covering the balls every single day. We start spring practice on March 9th. It never stops when it comes to college football. So I'm all about it, and I love it. And you do a great job down there, and I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, Trey, good to talk to you. We'll look forward to catching up with you there soon.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank
you. All right, good stuff there from Trey Wallace, Fox Sports Knoxville, talking about the situation with Zach Evans and kind of the sort of the latecomer to the party there, Tennessee. But obviously, you know, an aggressive pursuit here late. And, you know, you're going to eventually hear this kind of the same thing from everyone, whether it be Trey up in Knoxville or, you know, somebody else. Anyone's guess is as good as any other about how any of this is going to kind of play out. I also think this, that Tennessee, in addition to whatever's going to happen here with Evans, ultimately, I don't think that Tennessee's a spot where he lands. But kind of no matter how any of this plays out, I think that Tennessee is having a very interesting offseason. Like, one of the things that we haven't really talked a ton about yet, probably should have talked more about it, is just kind of the transition this program seems to be undergoing right now. Whereas, like, on the field, you actually saw Tennessee play a good bit better towards the end of the season. You know, you saw this team kind of go on a little bit of a winning streak, you know, kind of snuck back in and got a bowl win after a while against Indiana. It wasn't looking so good. You know, covered the spread against Alabama as a way of kind of keeping it closer than the experts thought in a game like that. So you've kind of seen a little bit of on-field momentum for the Vols. You know, they've had other instances of this where, you know, Cade Mays kind of transfers back to the program. Trey Smith makes the decision to stay in Knoxville as opposed to move on to the NFL. He's obviously still dealing with a health situation, I guess, in some form or fashion. But you've had some examples of good news for Tennessee. And yet, we're kind of talking before the program that what we really haven't seen yet, though, are those, like, really big knock-it-out-of-the-park recruiting wins that truly validate what Jeremy Pruitt's building there. Now, to the average fan, they may say, well, the on-field win's more important than the recruiting win. But the truth is, what's really important in any kind of situation like this is what helps, like, create some compound interest for you. I don't necessarily agree in momentum as a concept, but I do agree in the notion of compound interest, that sometimes good news does begat more good news because of what it has the chance to bring in for you. And the way that you see that compound interest show up sometimes is in recruiting. And it's not that Tennessee's necessarily done bad, but they haven't really had that knock it out of the park moment. You know, they get the visits. You know, they get Zach Evans on campus, and they got Darnell Washington on campus for his final official visit. But where are the moments in which they actually turn those visits into signatures? Thus far, Jeremy Pruitt has been a noisy, what's the term in baseball? You ever heard of like a noisy out where, you know, you hit the ball 330, you know, feet down the right field line, but it ends up being caught right there in the corner? You know, in a lot of ways, Tennessee on the recruiting trail has been a little bit of a noisy out thus far. And so there was kind of an interesting assistant coach change over the course of the last few days. Kevin Shearer, who at one point in time had been to Georgia, you know, he made the move to go to Tennessee, was defensive coordinator, and then Tennessee had a chance to hire Derek Ansley. And Ansley was one of those guys, had this great reputation as a recruiter that, well, if you got a chance to bring this guy in, you definitely do that. And so you demote Kevin Shearer. And who knows if that was what impacted Shearer in terms of his decision to go take a job at the New York Giants or not. We don't really know that. But, you know, it's a little bit of an unsettled situation. Shearer, a guy I think they believed in, I think they liked, now he's moving on to the New York Giants. Derek Ansley's in place and defensive coordinator, and yet in terms of those big recruiting wins, a guy like Ansley's going to bring in, I haven't really seen as many of those as I would have expected. My point here is I think the situation below Georgia in the SEC East, and yes, I do still believe that Georgia is justifiably at the top there in that division. I think the situation below that when it comes to Georgia is still very unsettled. Admittedly, I thought that Tennessee might prove to be a real threat to Florida for that position right underneath Georgia. And I thought that South Carolina, you know, under Will Muschamp, because Muschamp has gotten some recruiting wins, I thought he might be able to do some of that too. As of now, I think that's still pretty unclear. Florida has had back-to-back top 10 seasons. Tennessee just put itself back in a bowl for the first time in a long time. So I am very interested to see, what does the rest of the SEC East look like? Is Jeremy Pruitt building something there in Knoxville that's going to last? I don't expect it to involve Zach Evans, but who's to say it won't involve something else? Is Will Muschamp, now that he's hired, a competent offensive coordinator, is he doing something? This is going to be a fun year in this division to kind of find out. Is Georgia's lead in this division still as wide as it has been perceived to be, or are there teams who are going to make things more difficult for the Dogs in the time to come? We got a little bit more time here before we move on. I'm going to get a couple of your comments on both Facebook and YouTube. We'll take a little time to do that. Also, to remind you about my friends at Marlowe's Tavern, because this is a wonderful time right now to go check out the Marlowe's Tavern near you. And there's probably one right there in your neighborhood. You should check that out and find that out. And when you get there, here's what you're going to experience. One of the great meals, or if you go there for like a happy hour situation or something like that, you're gonna experience one of the great nights out, date night, you know, business lunch, whatever it is. I love the chef inspired food. I love the craft cocktails. I'm the kind of guy that I like high quality comfort food, and Marlowe's Tavern has a lot of that. If you like the a little fancier stuff, Marlowe's Tavern knocks that out of the park there as well. You enjoy a good cocktail, and who doesn't? Marlowe's Tavern gonna take really good care of you on all of that too. You've heard us brag about it for a long time. Maybe you haven't stopped in to see one yet, but the Marlowe's Tavern right there in your neighborhood would be a great choice if you've got a night out coming here. And as you get ready towards Valentine's Day, good thing to think about there a little bit too. Drew Roman, by the way, in our Facebook comment section, mentioning Jordan Birch, the possibility he's going to go to LSU. We're actually going to talk more about Birch coming up a little bit later on in our program here. There is some new details out there with Jordan Birch. I mean, I guess, spoiler alert, the most important part of this is, for some reason, I felt like Georgia's chance on Birch probably expired after this past weekend. It does seem like that Birch was at LSU. There'd been some online chatter about that. Seems like that was true. So this visit elsewhere in the SEC that had been rumored for Birch, apparently it did go down. Georgia was not the beneficiary of that. So we'll talk more about Birch coming up. And there is, I guess, some official news to report on him one way or another. Tim Tatum says the problem with Tennessee is that gaudy orange, that creamsicle color. Yeah, listen, I've never liked that Tennessee orange. That'd be a hard thing for me to wear a whole bunch. It really would be. That'd be a tough thing all the way around. Matthew McGahee says the problem with the Tennessee orange is as soon as you buy a shirt, it's already faded. And that's also kind of true there as well. I guess I sort of feel the same way about all the orange. I'm just very, very thankful that that Georgia doesn't have to deal with the orange colors. Channing McDowell says, who would I rather see Georgia sign, Zach Evans or Jordan Birch? So I've been pretty clear about this. I know that some people, and this is true kind of anytime something like this stays in the news, as long as it has, you start to see a little bit of growing frustration with the Zach Evans news cycle. The whole notion of, is he coming to Georgia? Is he not? you know, I've said before, I'm kind of entertained by it. I kind of like the twists and turns. Even if he doesn't end up at UGA, this has still been kind of a fun soap opera for me. I don't want him to go to a Tennessee. I'll admit that. I don't want him to go to a Florida. I'll admit that. But you know, for the most part, the whole soap opera is entertaining no matter where Evans lands. Some people are getting tired of it. And here's the point that I keep making about that. And this goes back to the question of who I'd rather see Georgia sign between Evans and Burge. I actually believe that Georgia has a need for another running back. And it's not because I don't think Zamir White's good, because I think he very well might prove to be very good this season, especially another year removed from his ACL injuries. I've got no reason to think that Kendall Milton is anything other than the very impressive running back we saw him be, and so many of us were watching his high school highlights so closely all year long. I think Milton has the look of a really good back. I think that James Cook and Kenny McIntosh, in their own way, both show a great deal of promise. However, I think you need five. I think that injuries are a factor when it comes to running back position. I think that while all of these guys show promise, just the general batting average in college football is they're not all going to be the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I mean, you're going to have, you know, a couple of these guys, for whatever reason, that might not quite reach their full potential. And that means that you go into a situation, and Georgia, by the way, has found itself in this spot a couple of times over the last couple of years, even though on paper it seemed like they had an embarrassment of riches at the running back spot. Georgia has found itself in a position where it had only just enough running backs. Could have you maybe used one more healthy option. Think about the SEC championship in that regard. Think about even the Sugar Bowl a bit in that regard. We have seen Georgia kind of down to just enough. I think the running back position is one where you do need to have a full roster worth of depth. I think an extra running back here does matter. This is more than just being enamored by the incredible talent of Zach Evans. This is about Georgia needing someone to pair with Kendall Milton, who may be as good as Kendall Milton or may be as good as the other running backs that Georgia has in his roster. So you can make a case that Georgia needs defensive linemen too, but I think the more significant need is at running back. Even in a changeover to an offense that might throw the ball a bit more, running backs are still going to matter a lot for Georgia. From that standpoint, I think that Evans is more than just a luxury. I do think he is a bit of a need. If Georgia doesn't have the two elite backs in this class, you know, I think it'll be an opportunity lost a bit for UGA. So that is certainly my take on that. By the way, speaking of takes, I've got more of them for you. We're going to have fun with Mecole Hardman later on the show. Also, Birch came up here. We'll do a little bit more on Jordan Birch as well. And a lot of your comments to still come later on for those of you watching on video. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So interesting stuff there from Trey Wallace covering the Zach Evans news up there in Knoxville for Fox Sports Knoxville. We appreciate him spending some time with us, and we're going to go around the rest of the SEC here in a moment. We call it Cruise Around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. I want to tell you about an unbelievable ship as a part of the Royal Caribbean fleet. One of those reasons why you just got to be thinking about one of these Royal Caribbean vacations. If you have not done one before, or if you haven't done one in a while, it's time to get back on board. Let me talk about the Oasis of the Seas here for a moment. It's the most awarded ship at sea, and it recently underwent the biggest Royal Caribbean amplification ever. I'm talking about totally reimagined ship, unbelievable additions now. You've got the Ultimate Abyss, which is the tallest slide at sea. Can you imagine like 10 decks plunging down? It's just an unbelievable view. Really fun stuff. You've got Playmaker Sports Bar and Arcade, a sports bar right there at sea, all kinds of like nightclub entertainment stuff, music hall, the Lime and Coconut, which is like a tropical themed bar. It's like three stories tall. Bionic Bar, which is like robotic arms serving your drinks to you. Just really an amazing vacation. The way in which that Oasis of the Seas has been amplified, I just think makes it a can't-miss vacation spot. So contact your own travel advisor or call my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority. Their number is 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. That'll get you in touch with the Cruise and Vacation Authority. Please tell them, though, that you heard about them right here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, Cruiser on the SEC here for a moment. So yesterday, I saw where a guy named Brandon Marcello, who covers Auburn for 24/7 Sports, was on the Paul Feinbaum show. And the big topic around Auburn over the course of this offseason, and it's so funny how, I mean, it just seems like They are the Groundhog Day program of the SEC. We've joked before, and everybody knows this. They're sort of good when you think they're not going to be. They're sort of bad when you think they're going to be good. They just kind of, and they've kind of done this over and over and over again. Well, the other kind of regenerating storyline that involves Auburn is the tug of war that seems to always be going on with Gus Malzahn, who made his name as a play caller. You have to give him credit for that. He went from a high school coach to a big name and a multimillionaire because of his play calling abilities. So it's understandable why he'd want to hold on to that. But there's this constant tug of war between Malzahn having an OC who he says he's going to give control to, yet it never quite seems to be able to happen. And go back to Rhett Lashley, who eventually left Auburn to take the offensive coordinator job at, I believe it was UConn, that he left Auburn for. You don't leave OC job at Auburn for UConn unless you don't really feel like you have full control of the situation there at Auburn. Malzahn said he would. I don't think Rhett Lashley necessarily felt that way. In fact, I think there's some people way back in the time that this is prior to 2017 that may have thought they were trying to set up Lashley as a potential scapegoat if Malzahn had gotten himself into some trouble, but nonetheless, that didn't really go well. Chip Lindsey, you bring him in. Like, you're going to let him have full control of the Auburn offense. This is the former high school coach here in the city of Atlanta. Ultimately, that never probably quite happened either. And so now, after calling plays himself in 2019, Auburn getting a new offensive coordinator, and this is a guy with some credentials. This is a former million-dollar offensive coordinator at Auburn, at Clemson, former head coach at Arkansas, former head coach at SMU. It's Chad Morris. And Gus Malzahn said he's going to be our offensive coordinator. He's going to get a call plays. Well, Brandon Marcello, who knows the Auburn scene pretty well, goes on the Feinbaum show yesterday and says, I'm not quite so sure that's going to end up being the case. Boy, isn't that interesting? This is the guy that if Malzahn's ever going to trust anyone, this is the guy that you think you got to be able to trust. They are friends, and Morris has some credentials. If Malzahn doesn't yield on this, if he stays controlling and micromanaging when it comes to his offense, I think it's ultimately going to doom him there at Auburn. It's going to cost him his job eventually once this buyout becomes a little less onerous after a couple more years pass. This is a story worth watching there on the Plains. Pretty interesting stuff all the way around. Speaking of interesting, I was also interested in what Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports had to say about some of the recent coaching hires. He kind of gave them all a letter grade. This is sort of classic internet stuff. I do eat this kind of stuff alive. However, I disagree with Dodd in a big way on one of the coaches that he evaluates. First of all, he gives Mike Leach an A grade, the hire made by Mississippi State. I told you before why I don't think that's true. There's one sentence in particular here that I think is worth reading, though, from Dennis Dodd on Mike Leach. He says that Leach's preference to work under the media radar in small towns, he means like Lubbock, Texas, and Pullman, Washington, he says that desire is going to be tested at Mississippi State. Dodd says, yes, this is Starkville, but the SEC is covered like no other conference. That is true, and ultimately that's why the Leach hire for me is on an A grade. He can't be, goofy, sort of whatever he has been, kind of cartoon character like you can get away with in Pullman and Lubbock and places like that. The media there is quaint. They find that to be entertaining. The only thing entertaining in Starkville, though, is going to be winning. It's going to be winning the Egg Bowl, winning your share of SEC West games. And the moment that Leach excuse makes, which he has done in some of his previous stops, they're going to turn on him in a big way in Starkville. I can guarantee you that. He gives an A grade to Lane Kiffin as well. The one, though, that's a big disagreement for me, though, is Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, gives the hire of Sam Pittman only a C- there at Arkansas. He says, as an SEC head coach, Pittman is a heck of an offensive line coach. I understand that, and I told you before that I was surprised that Pittman got a head coaching position. And yet, when you look at the way that Pittman has acted since becoming head coach, hiring Kendall Briles as offensive coordinator, that's a real legitimate hire. Hiring Barry Odom, former Missouri head coach, as his defensive coordinator, that's a real legitimate hire. Getting a chance to host a guy like Broderick Jones for an official visit, even though Jones is not going to go to Arkansas, I don't believe. Getting a chance to host that guy, other recruiting work that they've done. Say what you will about Felipe Franks, but Franks is a starter in the SEC. He brings experience to the quarterback position. I think that Sam Pittman, since becoming Arkansas head coach, has proven himself, I think thus far, to be more than a C- hire. And I think because you do have a clown show in Starkville, and because I think that Lane Kiffin as a head coach is probably a little bit overrated. I like him as a play caller. Don't love him as a head coach. I think the situation in the Magnolia State with Ole Miss and Mississippi State, I think it opens the door for Sam Pittman to have a great deal more success. So that's me kind of vouching for Pittman, at least here for a moment. And then finally there's this. So Saturday on South has reported, there had been long, all kinds of online chatter on this, and Saturday on South took it a step further to say that Jordan Burch indeed was at LSU this past weekend. That, to me, at least my best guess, any kind of remote possibility you thought Georgia had with Burch, the fact that he visited LSU even though Dave Aranda's not there anymore, I don't know. I mean, the best I can tell you, that probably feels like it closed the door on some of that. You can, I guess, decide for yourself if you think that's true, but that's kind of my feeling on that, that the Burch thing may not be a Georgia story really at all anymore. Remember, he told our folks there at the Under Armour All-American game that I think Georgia was like, what, fifth place or something like that? You know, not really silver medalist, bronze medalist or anything when it comes to his recruitment when he initially pledged to South Carolina back in December. However, the state, the big news entity there in Columbia, South Carolina, is reporting that Burch will make his kind of final deal here as a part of a ceremony at 1 p.m. at his high school there in Columbia, South Carolina, next Wednesday. So if you wonder, does Burch end up somewhere other than Columbia, other than the Gamecocks? He's going to be back on a stage again, on a platform again, right there at his high school. Will he really say a school other than South Carolina in the high school where Will Muschamp's son has attended? That'll be high drama to see. I just kind of wonder about the presence of this announcement, when it's taking place, how it's going down. Is Burch still going to be South Carolina bound when this is all said and done? But maybe a little bit of signing day drama to watch when it comes to Jordan Burch. We'll make that cruise around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Okay, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp, I think it's been really fun over the course of this week to watch both teams really in the Super Bowl in Miami enjoying themselves, and in particular, Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver, obviously former dog, Mecole Hardman. The Chiefs themselves even put out a video of Hardman kind of going through Miami, kind of microphone in hand. I got to tell you, I guess I never quite realized at Georgia that Hardman had this much of a personality. The folks who've kind of grown up around him, around Elbert County, could probably tell you more about that. But, I mean, he is just a natural behind the microphone here. And, with the Hunts, the owners, ship family for the Kansas City Chiefs, other players, he's just kind of really enjoying himself. He's incredibly charismatic. Of course, his outfits going into the AFC playoff games are kind of fun to watch. So it'd be great to see Mecole Hardman have a big game on the field for his Super Bowl debut, but certainly enjoying himself and his time in Miami right now and really kind of becoming a fixture, a part of the, that sort of the cultural stuff around the Super Bowl. Mecole Hardman's done a really good job of being a part of that. You can go to Kansas City Chiefs on Twitter and see more of the video involving Mecole Hardman. Also, BetOnline has props out for all the players, the key players in the game. Thought it might be appropriate to give you a little bit of an update about what expectations are for Mecole when it comes on Sunday. He is plus 6,600 to win the MVP. His over-under for receiving yards, 21.5. If the Chiefs win, Mahomes is the MVP, so I don't think that Hardman's necessarily good odds as an MVP. I do kind of like the over on the receiving yards at 21.5, maybe under the pass receptions, which is set at a reception and a half. I might just leave that alone all the way around, but the over on the receiving yards, kind of an interesting thing there. Over under on his first reception is 9.5 yards. Over under on his longest reception is 14.5. Will he score a touchdown? Yes, pays plus 400. That means you wager 100 to win back 4. No, pays minus 525. You have to bet 525 to win back 100. So that's what BetOnline has set as the expectation for how Mecole Hardman might perform in the Super Bowl. So obviously looking forward to the big game on Sunday. It isn't. We talked about this on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger yesterday. It's actually amazing when you think about it, and it's probably more of a statistical oddity than it is something you could actually tangibly attempt to do. But Georgia has now had a player in the Super Bowl for 19 consecutive years, 3 different Super Bowl MVPs. There's a great deal of UGA football history connected to the Super Bowl, and that ain't a bad thing when it comes to every program's search for fame and attention. Georgia connected to the biggest sporting event in America for sure, and that connection dating back for as long as it has, I think it's a pretty cool thing. So Mecole Hardman will try to keep that tradition alive coming up on Sunday. Speaking of traditions here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp, our most important tradition is the Gator Hater Updater. With that in mind, I'm proud to tell you that it's been 1,188 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp.